Right now, round one is over. Democrats claiming victory here, killing the first special legislative session and helping push California to redraw its own lines. State Rep. John Busey with us before he leaves Illinois. Republicans spared Representative Jasmine Crockett's congressional district, and polls show her leading the Democratic race for U.S. Senate here in the state. The one thing she says it would take to get her to seriously look at that seat. Republicans want redistricting to go even further now, beyond congressional seats. Abraham George, chair of the Republican Party of Texas, on the new maps, he's now pushing. And a new survey out from business leaders across Texas showing how politics might be slowing the Texas economy.
Inside Texas Politics with Jason Whiteley starts now.
I'm Jason Whiteley. A lot in motion right now, but let's begin with some of the political headlines you might have missed over the last few days. The Texas economy is slowing, and President Trump's trade war and immigration crackdown might be two of the reasons why. This is from a survey of business executives at the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas collects. Business leaders say it's harder to hire right now with tougher immigration enforcement, and higher tariffs on foreign goods are going to raise prices, they say. But the Texas economy is still performing better than other states. The president's policies also seem to be affecting tourism here in the Lone Star State. International tourists in Dallas alone set to fall 8% this year, the biggest drop from Canada and overseas, according to the Dallas Morning News. Nationwide, the loss of tourists could cost the U.S. economy up to $29 billion this year. Cities, though, hope next year's World Cup games turn that around. And President Trump's push for a new census next year, it could cost Texas some seats in Congress. Trump wants a new census to only include citizens. Traditionally, everyone is counted. The Texas Tribune reports that that could exclude 1.5 million undocumented immigrants that are living in Texas right now, and that could reduce the number of congressional seats the state gets and our national clout as well. Monday morning, though, we'll be watching to see if there is a quorum in the Texas House of Representatives. Democrats who left the state for Illinois are now making arrangements to return. Even though new redistricting maps are likely to pass in the second special legislative session, Democrats here are claiming victory. Our first guest, Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, a Dallas Democrat whose district was spared in the new maps. Congresswoman, welcome back.
Good to see you.
Texas Democrats have spent 2 weeks in Illinois. We all know how this is going to end. What do you think a win would look like for Texas Democrats who broke quorum?
So first of all, I think they are winning. So I want to of all congratulate them on currently winning, because I don't know how many people I've come across, whether it's been in real life or via social media, that have said, I didn't realize Texas was a majority minority state. I didn't realize that this is what gerrymandering looked like. Like, the fact that we are having real conversations about gerrymandering and the everyday person understands it, that is a win. I will always celebrate a civics win. So number one, they have won in that respect. Number two, I think that they've won because we're looking at states like California, who seemingly is pushing forward. So they're not just taking it laying down. Mm-hmm. It is so important that our base see that Democrats know how to fight and not just get steamrolled. So even if Texas forges forward, because we know that Texas will do whatever Donald Trump tells them to do, at the end of the day, the fact that there is at least one state that is already saying, if y'all want to play this game, we will match our energy. That is fantastic. We are going to play the same game that you're playing, but unfortunately, we got to win to be able to get this country back on track and to do right by all people in all states.
Let's zoom in on Texas here. The new Republican map makes re-election difficult for Julie Johnson in Dallas, Al Green in Houston, Greg Kassar in Austin as well. It spares Mark Vesey, and it leaves you in a dark blue district. Why in the world do you think they spared you?
I don't know.
Well, you haven't exactly been, you know, friendly to the other side.
Listen, I know that there is this idea that they hate me, but actually so many Republicans adore me. They really do. I mean, and I think it's more so because I'm very honest and I'm very real. And so, you know, they know where we don't agree. We know where we can agree. And so it is interesting, though, that I think that they understood that no matter what they did, I could win a Democratic seat in this state. And so I think even if they had said there's no districts left in Dallas County, I would have gotten my little self down to Houston and tried to see if I could win something down there.
Let me ask you about those polls that show you in the lead for the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senate. What do you make of those?
I make nothing. I mean,
Do you have aspirations for higher office?
I have aspirations to do whatever God says I'm supposed to do. And so I say that because I never saw myself in Congress. So I have no idea. I know that the public life is tough. Whatever seems like it is best for the people in that moment is what I'll always do. That is how I got to the U.S. House.
Sure. Well, let me ask you this. Would you consider a race for U.S. Senate next spring?
I would consider it. But right now, that's not where my head is. My head is strictly focused on these maps, redistricting, protecting districts, and really staying engaged in this fight.
What would it take to get you over the top to consider it and launch a campaign?
It would take one of these polls talking about more than the primary, but talking about the general election.
Showing that you could be competitive?
Showing that I could be competitive. If there's a general poll, there are general polls that they've not released, but if there is a general poll that came out that said that I could be competitive, that would be something that I would have to consider. You know, but I've never run statewide, and it's a big state. So there's a lot to kind of think about with that. That the fact that I represent 1/38th of the state, it is daunting to think that I could be competitive statewide. But if I could, only representing 1/38th of the state and having never run statewide before, it's something I'd have to take a long, hard look at.
Congresswoman, good to see you. Thank you for the time.
Good to see you, too.
All right, let's bring in the roundtable to talk about the politics of this. Bud Kennedy is here from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, Ashley Godot, political director at KVU in Austin, and I am Mitra joining us from the Texas Tribune in Austin as well. Bud, let's start with you. How likely do you think it is Jasmine Crockett launches a Senate campaign?
Well, let's say she did. It is likely that she might run for Senate, win the nomination, and then lose the general election because we've seen over and over that black and Hispanic voters, even if they have a Democratic habit, black and Hispanic men don't vote for women. We saw that when Hillary Clinton lost votes in Texas, when Kamala Harris lost votes in Texas. You know, minority male voters are not going to vote for women, at least have not shown it so far. So there's a great chance she would win the primary and then lose the general, even to a Ken Paxton.
And then, Ashley, the other big question is, if she does decide to get into the primary race here for U.S. Senate, Allred's already in the race, Colin Allred from Dallas. James Tallarico said to be flirting with us for a long time. How would her candidacy impact those?
She would beat them. I agree, point blank, period. I agree with Bud on this. Like, she would win the primary. I think if you put Jasmine Crockett, especially right now, against any other Democrat, she has so much buzz. She's young. She's fiery. People like that. I think that she dominates the primary.
And she is all of those things that Ashley mentioned, too. But the independents in this state who swing the election, they do lean conservative. Which way would they go? You know, Cornyn or Paxton versus Jasmine Crockett here.
Yeah, and it's an interesting thing, too, to think about Cornyn and Paxton, too, and which way that goes. That could really impact this. But look, you know, Jasmine Crockett has that national profile in a state like Texas where it's all of, it's not, you know, she talks about polling, but it's about money. And if she's pulling in national dollars to support that campaign, you know, she's already got that national profile. That's really going to kind of be a factor for her. And I agree with the panel, like in terms of her ability to win the primary, that she has a strong chance of that.
Yeah, indeed. So if she decides to get in, guys, thanks so much. Back to you in just a moment here. We have a lot more ahead, including this.
When we come back, the Republican Party of Texas Chairman Abraham George on the next set of maps, the party wants GOP leaders to now redraw. And 2 weeks now in Illinois, why Texas Democrats say this walkout is so different from the others. State Rep. John Busey also with us when Inside Texas Politics returns.
Welcome back to Inside Texas Politics. The Republican Party of Texas is considering a rule change that is getting a lot of attention right now, but could censuring their own elected officials somehow prevent powerful Republicans from getting reelected? State Party Chairman Abraham George took our questions on that and how he wants to expand redistricting beyond Congress. Mr. Chairman, welcome back to the program. You were in Springfield the other day at Springfield, Illinois. Tell us why Illinois Republicans invited you.
Well, you know, the House Democrats from the state of Texas, they're hiding in Illinois. So they had a rally as part of their state fair. So they invited me to come speak and talk about what's happening in Texas. And I was very excited to go and attend with them.
I want to ask you about a new rule that the Republican Party of Texas is considering. There's now a list of offenses that someone can be censured for, members of the party can be censured for. The party's executive committee finalizing that, to my knowledge, right now. And the Texas Tribune reports that this list of censurable offenses could keep some incumbents from being able to run for re-election next year, like Brad Buckley, the chair of the House Public Education Committee, who got school vouchers passed, and even House Speaker Dustin Burroughs, who by all accounts has had a super conservative year so far in his first year with the gavel there. Is this the case?
That is not really true. The issue that we currently have with media spinning this in the wrong way is they're saying we're kicking people off the ballot. Well, the Republican Party of Texas, that's not the intent. If some counties believe that the precinct chair is the county chair, their executive committee believes that their representative is not representing them properly, they have the right to censure the members. That goes for every elected official.
Sure.
You could be a constable to, you know, anyone who is elected as a Republican can be censured by the Republican Party if they're not doing their job. So it comes down to the local parties and the precinct chairs, and we will have a meeting on October 11th at the Capitol to look through all the resolutions.
And as chairman, are you concerned at all that some county parties might censure a powerful incumbent and prevent them from running as a Republican next year?
No, not really. I mean, if someone wants to do that, it's their right. We will definitely look at it. There are rules in place to make that happen. The censure, it has to go through a certain set of process before it gets to us. And if it goes through all the process and get to the Republican Executive Committee at the state level, then we'll look at it. And it will come down to 64 members. So I really am not worried about someone is going to get censured or someone is not going to get censured. I'm not putting my thumb on the scale either way. I mean, I'm just going to wait and see what the grassroots want me to do.
And the October 11th meeting, is that when this will kind of get finalized, this new rule?
That is correct. The censure resolutions will be looked at on the October 11th meeting. The rule is finalized at the last convention.
It's been a year since we last had you on the program right after you got elected. How do you think the last year has gone?
It's been great. Party has raised plenty of money. We've been working on a lot of really good things. We're working on closing our primaries. We are working on getting five districts flipped over to the Republican side.
Yeah.
We're looking at potentially, our ask now is potentially redraw the maps on the Texas House, because there's 22 coalition districts in Texas House. So there is some real hard things that are, you know, on the way from our side, and it's going to be interesting for the entire state of Texas.
What's the process if the Republicans who run the state wanted to redraw the House of Representatives state map?
Governor just needs to make a call and call a special session, put that on the agenda, and they can do it.
Mr. Chairman, it's always good to see you. I appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Jason.
All right, now to the other side. Texas Democrats who broke quorum and left the state to stop redistricting in the first special legislative session, they are now making plans to return to Texas after being holed up in Illinois the last 2 weeks. Our next guest, State Rep John Busey III, a Democrat who represents parts of Austin and Round Rock, who says the battle is over right now, but acknowledges the political war over redistricting is far from it. Representative Busey, welcome to the program here. We saw Governor Abbott decide to end the special session early. Speaker Burroughs decided to end it early on Friday as well. What do you make of that? Because at the end of the day, it looks like that is a win for Democrats.
It's a huge win for Texas Democrats. We committed to killing this special session, and they made threats against us. They told their supporters to hunt us down. They filed lawsuits. They've done everything they can think of to intimidate us, and it didn't work. And now they gave up, and they gave up early.
2 weeks now in Illinois. How do you think you're going to look back on this?
You know, I'm excited that this has started a national conversation. We've lit a spark, and now we're seeing people from across the country taking action and figuring out what they can do to help fight back against Donald Trump's authoritarian reach.
At the end of the day, you know, I've seen how these things play out. You know full well how these things play out. Republicans have the votes. When you guys at some point show back up, they're going to likely pass redistricting. What do you think a win will look like for Democrats, though, for Texas Democrats?
Well, if they pass that map, that will be a loss for the people of Texas. And so we're going to continue to use the tools we have to fight against it. A win for Texas Democrats has happened. We committed to killing that special, success. We have raised a national conversation, success. We have also now have other states in an arms race, if you will, ready to stop or respond in kind to what Greg Abbott and Donald Trump are doing. We don't have all the power in the world. You're correct about the numbers. We have enough numbers to break quorum and use that tool. We don't have enough to win the vote ultimately, but what we have done has tangible, we've seen tangible effects from our actions.
And people watching this will say, listen, we have seen it. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick said, you guys made your point. Democrats made their point. But people are asking, how much longer can you stay out? You have businesses, you have families in Texas. At some point, you have to come back, don't you?
Well, I think at some point, I'm sure we will, but right now we're not going to take any option off the table. And we're working as a unit and a group, and we're pretty unified up here. And we're working together to figure out the best step forward. And we're also, it's not just us. We're watching what other states do. And as those things happen, it will have an impact on us.
Representative, good to see you. I appreciate the time.
Thank you for having me.
The roundtable is ready when we come back here at Inside Texas Politics. And our podcast this week, the Shark Tank billionaire bringing both political sides together. And it's not pie in the sky stuff either. Daniel Lubetzky's brand new effort already had success in Tennessee and in Wisconsin. Now he's bringing it to Texas. Look for Yellowtix wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Inside Texas Politics with Jason Whiteley.
All right, time now for the roundtable to put the headlines in perspective. Bud, Ashley, and Ian all back with us here. Bud, let's start with you in the second special session underway in Austin. The new Republican congressional maps, they're not at the top of the list anymore, but they are certainly a priority for Republicans. They do pit incumbents on the Democratic side against each other. Let's talk about DFW. Julie Johnson has been drawn out of a seat, essentially, but the new Mark Vesey district comes over to Dallas rather than Fort Worth, where Mark lives. So does this pit those two incumbents against each other? Do you think they'll both run for this, or do they sort it out ahead of time?
Well, what you need to look at with in both of these conflicts is that seniority is the most important choice. And when you pick a member of Congress, you have somebody in Congress who's been there 12 years or 20 years or 30 years, they're going to have a lot more power, a lot more clout than someone who's been there two or three terms. So generally, the person with seniority should always be the one who's favored. In this case, the young progressives, some of them want somebody different.
Yeah, and the same thing's kind of unfolding in Central Texas, too. Ashley and Austin, the 37th Congressional District, Greg Kassar potentially going against Lloyd Doggett. How do you expect this to shake out? I mean, Kassar leads the progressive caucus in Congress.
He does. And so I think that to some degree, you have to wonder if the two of them are going to have a conversation and if the two of them are going to make that decision without having to fight it out in the primary, because they have gotten along so well. They have worked together so well. But it's one of those things where it is really a toss up. And, you know, while seniority does matter, I don't know that it matters to voters as much if they realize that how much weight seniority carries.
And that's a good point, Ian. I mean, at the end of the day, how does this impact the you know, broader base of Democratic voters here? If, let's say, Julie Johnson doesn't run because she doesn't have seniority, or Greg Kassar decides to run over Lloyd Doggett, how does this impact the broader party, especially as they look towards November wanting to win?
It does really kind of reflect kind of an inner kind of tension for the party in terms of, like, who they see as future leadership, and as well as versus kind of like the veteran leadership. Lloyd Doggett was first elected to Congress in 1994. You know, Greg Kassar much more recently, but also seen as kind of like an up and coming leader in the Democratic Party too. So, you know, this is very much kind of a state of play of like where does the Democratic Party go, and what happens in Texas is reflective of, you know, kind of things happening across the country.
And Bud, are those conversations happening right now between Doggett and Kassar, let's say, or Julie Johnson and Mark Vesey? Is that happening behind the scenes now?
Well, I think they are, because you have these other vacancies on the Democratic state ticket. And I think, you know, people say, well, why don't you run for something on the state level? Or, you know, why don't you run over in this district? And people are still looking at the Republican districts. You know, there are a couple of those Republican districts where Beto did well, where Democrats have done well, where a Democrat might do well.
And Ian, let me talk to you about this article you guys did. The Texas leader is really kind of concerned about what a new census the president wants might do to Texas clout in D.C. He only wants you know, citizens counted rather than everyone who lives here like traditional censuses do. So if that happens, we're going to have potentially less congressional seats in D.C., I would presume, right?
That there is a potential of that. 1.7 million undocumented immigrants, roughly estimated in Texas. That's second only to California. That could have, you know, potential ramifications. I think a lot of Republicans feel like because of the growth in states like Texas and Ohio, that could offset some of that. But then you just don't know. And ultimately, you know, if Texas loses seats, then, you know, losing that impact, that power in Washington will have a lot of questions kind of flowing around this process.
It does, Ashley, and it leaves the Republican leaders kind of in a pickle here. So do they slow walk this or do they actually move forward with it?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where obviously Texas would lose state, California would lose, you know, seats as well, which they see. But there's also the money aspect, right? That's the other thing about the census is, yes, it does our congressional seats, but it also plays a role in how much federal money we get. And Texas is a vibrant state and we can do a lot of things, and parts of that because we get some federal money.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, Bud, I mean, the president's asking the Census Bureau to do this. There are bureaucrats who work in the Census Bureau who aren't prepared to do this. This isn't something that would happen immediately, is it?
Well, there'll be some challenges over whether it even can happen and over the language of the law and whether you can just throw out illegal immigrants. But the fact of the matter is that it would probably cost Texas one member of Congress and quite a bit of money.
Yeah, I bet so. Guys, thanks so much. We always appreciate the insight. And thank you for watching as well. We're back next Sunday to take you inside Texas politics. We hope to see you then. Take care.